everyone. Welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Chris.
All right, and Happy New Year's. We are back from the holidays, and it has been a great holiday season for us. We have a whole bunch of Aether Revolt spoilers we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how our holidays went, and then preparing for our Grand Prix is going to be segment two as we get ready for the first Grand Prix of the year with GP Louisville. So, of course, as always, what has everyone been up to? Jerry.
All right, so I've been up to just some playtesting for the Grand Prix. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. But I also finally got a job interview, guys, as a Taco Bell GM.
Nice.
So I'm happy about that. That'll be able to keep the funds rolling in so I can play Magic and then eventually go to school.
Nice.
What about you, Chris?
I've been talking to some friends that have been showing some interest in Magic and trying to get them over to the site, you know. Because they're just starting out, and I remember when we first started, a lot of our content was for, like, new people getting in. So I've been doing that. I've been doing a little gold fishing, because I'm really trying to make it to this GP. I've been to a modern and a standard GP, but I haven't been to a legacy one yet, so I'm really trying to make it to that this weekend.
Oh, good stuff. As for me... my crew has finally taken the sub back, so I've been busy with doing maintenance and all that other good stuff. And, yeah, just trying to play some Magic online, get in some reps before I leave. And because when I come back, everything's going to be different. Amon Kett will be released, and crazy times will be had. But holidays, though, were afoot. Anything crazy happened for you guys?
So my mom bought me some booster packs for Christmas because she knows I play Magic. She bought me a few boosters, and each booster had, like, a value rare in it. Like, I pulled... They were both Origins boosters, of all things. One of them was a foil Jace Viren's Prodigy, which that's getting turned around for sale. And then I pulled a foil Pia and Kieran Nalar. I'm like, really, Mom? You just buy my packs from now on.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Chris?
It was good. The holidays are real busy for me because I have two birthdays on top of Christmas and an anniversary, all from the 18th to the 31st. So it was like if it wasn't someone's birthday, we're getting ready for Christmas or me and my wife's anniversary or my wife's birthday. So it went really fast for me.
Dude, at least you killed it all in 1 month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As for me, it finally hit 40 degrees down here. I hate it.
Oh, that's cold.
I wanted to get back up in the 60s again. That's nice. And, no, just enjoyed some time off at home. Got to see as the wife went to work and I stayed in my pajamas and drank beer all day.
Ooh, that's good.
Here he is crying about, oh, it's 40 degrees, and outside it's 9 degrees right now, and my room can't stay above 60, and I'm in a hoodie right now.
Yeah, I saw, Chris, you're about to get hit with a snowstorm this weekend, too.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And it's going to shut you guys down for 2 weeks. Have fun with that.
Yeah. It's going to break 2 inches. The Hampton. This area is done. 2 inches.
It's over, guys. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah, we're stacking up food. You know, we're going to do a big supply run. You know, we might not be able to get out for months.
It's like your hurricane. It's like hurricane preparation down there, even though the hurricanes never actually hit the area. It's hurricane prep for them.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right, because at least, though, you got these sweet spoilers to look at while you're locked in the house. And yeah. We got some cool mechanics that are associated with this, and we're going to go down a list of which one of the newest mechanics and, you know, just give our thoughts on them. The first one being Revolt. What do you guys think about this?
All right. So just a quick explainer. Revolt is whenever a permanent you control leaves the battlefield this turn, you get this additional effect of whatever it might be. The Revolt trigger being caused by things leaving the battlefield. For me, this has bigger Eternal applications, specifically in Modern, how now Black has a one-mana removal spell that doesn't require Delve.
Yes, and we will talk about that a little bit later, because that's my bay right now. Chris, what do you think about the revolt mechanic? You think it's going to be groundbreaking? You think it's going to be underutilized? What are your thoughts?
So what I like about it is I like things that force you to decide whether I should jump block or not. Like, you know, before you could just block and it was like, oh, we kill each other. You know, two things crashing into each other. And it's like, well, now if I swing for two, he can block, they can kill each other. And now he can cast something else because he made what appeared to me, you know, a bad attack. But really, it's to play this other card in his hand. So I like the decision trees that it's going to apply to us of whether we do block and whether it's better or if it's just better to take the damage.
Exactly, because now is he trying to utilize that the revolt mechanic, or is he just trying to get in some quick damage and bluff?
Yeah.
Like another thing to note on revolt is it's not just based on dying. Like the creature can be exiled, it can be bounced, it can die, anything to get it to go away at all is what gets us to trigger. That's the beautiful part here.
Doesn't it just say whenever a permanent?
Yeah. Yes.
Like if you have a fetch land.
Yeah. Know, a fetch land, or even right now, because don't we still have evolving wilds in standard?
Yes, we do.
Evolving wilds, clue tokens, all of that.
Now, like, I get upside to playing stuff like that.
And as soon as seeing the mechanic myself, I was just looking for enablers. And there's really only one in the Ravenous Intruder, which is just the Atog reprint as a gremlin. I mean, right there, that's an enabler. That's a standard enabler. Yep. So any revolt card is worth looking at. As far as limited is concerned, though, I don't buy it as a mechanic in limited. It's a bit harder to enable things like that. You have to have the cards to make it work.
Okay. The next mechanic is Improvise, and I like this one. It kind of goes back to Convoke for those that remember Convoke and enjoyed it a lot. Jared, do you have Improvise pulled up?
Yes, I do. Improvise. Your artifacts can help you cast a spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for one. So you use artifacts instead of creatures.
Right, and some key wording in here, too, is each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for one.
Yep. So it's just good old version of a Convoke. It's pretty busted in my opinion. It's too many artifacts that can really, you know, you just get out a bunch of little cheap artifacts or anything that plays multiple artifacts. This can get out of hand real quickly.
What do you think about this, Chris?
I like it. I was a fan of Convoke, so I think this just rewards if you're going to play into artifacts, and not even if you're going to play some artifacts, this just helps you get your creatures out there. I think it's going to be the way ramp probably works in this format, is you're going to play a bunch of cheap artifacts just to tap them to cheat something out faster.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of really good, powerful cards that are going to be utilizing this Improvise. You got Battle at the Bridge. You got Reverse Engineer. You've got Herald of Anguish. So we'll be talking that a little bit more whenever we do our full set review. And we'll let you guys know when we do that next week. But there's also two cycles of cards that we got out of this. The first one we're going to go through is the Aether Commons. And for those who haven't caught this yet, each color has a Aether creature, whether it's an Aether Inspector, Aether Swooper, Prisoner, Chaser, or Herder. And one thing about each of these is they all have something involving with their one color, whether it's Death Touch, First Strike, Flying, or Vigilance. And then when they enter the battlefield, each one of them gives you two energy. So what do you guys think about these ones?
These cards are premier commons in limited and sealed. Like, these are like pick 3 and 4s in draft. Each color has them. They're all very powerful. The Death Touch one gets the nod up on all of them because I value Death Touch way more than I value First Strike, Flying, and Vigilance. So the black one looks a little bit better.
Yep. And the green one, its benefit is when it enters the battlefield, you get energy with it, which is what I think is the big theme that we've seen from green, is a lot of the green enter the battlefield give energy.
Well, another thing to note about the green one is that it is huge. It's a 3/3 for 4 vice the other ones. Like, it's a straight up hill giant with upside. This is the green, the green one is almost pack one-able.
Yeah, I need to correct myself. I just said something really stupid.
What'd you say?
All of them give you 2 energy when they enter the battlefield. I thought it was, I don't know why, because it's just the first text on the green one.
Okay, okay. Good point.
Yep, so I was just being dumb there. Chris, what are your thoughts on...
Oh, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I like it. The red-green energy aggro decks, I'm hoping this is going to be what it takes to really, really push it over the edge. And this kind of really, it helps enable that. You know, it's hard for me to look at it from a limited standpoint. I don't play it a ton of limit, but when you do look at it, you're like, this is a solid card for that field. And like, none of them are real bad. They're all pretty good. I'm a fan.
All right, Jerry, what were you going to say?
Oh, what I was going to say is the green one versus all the other ones actually doesn't have a flavored ability. Like, I'm pretty sure at one time this card had Trample on it, and then they realized we just made a 3/3 for 4 with Trample that gives you 2 energy that makes a dude when it attacks. Wait a minute, that's too good for common. So they backed off on it. And another thing to note, all of them are Artificers. Aether Poisoner is not Aetherborn, which is what I thought it would have been. It's a human instead. And the green one is the Elf Artificer Druid, so it's got 3 types. So for those of you who play Druid EDH, you got a new Druid.
I feel like they still could have... I don't know, maybe again it's thinking along the lines of busted cards. Aether Herder could have gotten Reach.
Yeah, that would have been fine. Reach would have been fine. Something. I know where you're coming from with it.
Right.
But it's also it's also the biggest body. I mean, it is straight up Hill Giant with nothing but pure upside. And in limited, Hill Giants are king. Like, everything is based around the Hill Giant, usually.
Right. And then we'll get to the most anticipated cycle once we saw Yahini's expertise, and that is the other 4 expertise.
You know, I honestly thought it was just going to be a one of, and then they made 4 more of these things, and I'm like, you know what? We're going to have fun this standard.
It is the epitome of cheating cards in, and all of them are good.
Like, yeah. Is any of them, like, what is the worst one? Any opinions here? Like, what is the worst one? How about that?
I think it's the red one.
Why do you say that, Chris?
I'm not a fan of the harness by 4 stuff because, all right, if you're playing against combo and they don't even have a creature, you know, or they have a dirtily creature, it doesn't really help you win the game. The being able to cast a card 2 or less without paying its mana cost, okay, that's all right. But to me, the red and the white one have the least amount of upswing. It's kind of a tie between those two. Like, I can see where the red one will win you the game. The more I think about it, it's probably the white one.
And even that one's not bad. 3 dudes for 4 mana is very good.
Yeah. And it's not just 3 dudes, it's 3 artifact dudes that you're getting.
Oh yeah, artifact, because that's a relevant
So look back at Improvise now with that. So you're getting 3 mana there, potentially, and then you're also getting to cast something for converted mana cost 3 or less without paying for it.
Yeah. So like those two have impressed me the least.
Uh-oh. Right. I just broke Sram's expertise, thank you. You use Sram's expertise to make 3 dudes to cast Werve Invention.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I want. I told you, I'm going to do whatever I want this standard. But, all right, my worst one. Rishkar, the green one, the green expertise, Rishkar's expertise. Because the initial effect, draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control, is very rarely good in standard. It's not usually good. Like, they've been trying to push this effect for so long, and it's just not been doing anything. I don't think allowing you to cast a 5-drop or less makes this any better.
Yeah. Because you figure, I can see that. You figure at the point that you cast this and it does something, are you just winning more at that point, Jerry?
I mean, if you're casting this and you have like a 4-power duder and you draw 4 cards, because Rishkar's expertise is the one you can actually cast out of your hand, but you were already winning more because you have the board state to pull this card off.
Yeah.
Like, it was, they're always win more cards, like you say, and the effects are just never good enough. Like, we had Momentous Fall, which was printed back in Rise of the Eldrazi, and we thought this card was going to be insane with the Eldrazi, you know, Eldrazi Temples got printed alongside Eye of Ugin with our massive Eldrazis. I get, like, I have a Kozilek out, oh, I can draw 10 cards for 4 mana. That never happened. Like, it just, just making this cost more and putting a nice caveat, mind you, a very nice ability attached to it, I don't think this makes it any better than it would normally be. Like, at least a threaten effect to see sideboard play.
Yeah.
See,
I could see that.
I'm going to go against you on that. I think it is one of the better ones.
All right, what's your worst one? Because these are all good. These are all good.
Right. They are all good. I'm going to have to agree with Chris and kind of go on the Kari Zev's expertise, the red one. Again, because of the whole Harness by Lightning thing, it can be great. And I like that it's cheaper in that it's 1 and 2 red. Convert a mana cost spell for 2 or less. I'm sure there are other things out there that I can do. Like, you know, you could take a Gearhulk and then you can use the 2 or less to slam a Built to Smash on it. So now it gets +3/+1 and trample. Sure, you can do things like that. I like this Ram's expertise just because, again, thinking along the lines of everything else that I want to do with the servo artifacts and being able to drop something then for 3 or less, I put Sram's expertise a little bit higher than it. I would put Yahini's at 3, Rishkar's at 4, are at number 2, and the best one I would have to say is Beryl's expertise.
Hey! So
I will say the blue one is the best one.
Yay, I agree.
But so Rishkar's though, I think it's better in that you get to dig into your library and then a lot of the green creatures are maxed out at 5. So you'll be able to cast any green creature spell from your hand at that point for free. That being Virtuous Gearhulk.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's the dream scenario right there, is you got, right, like, a 4-power duder out, you draw 4 cards, you, yep, need to cast a Gearhulk or a Nissa. Well, like, that's great. Like, I'm not saying even that's if bad.
Even if it's not Gearhulk, you have other cards like Bristling Hydra, too. And this is just looking back at the previous set. Bristling Hydra's going to hit the field, and as long as it doesn't get destroyed as it hits the field, then you get to have that 3 energy to protect it. You have Arborback Stomper. Hits the field, gain 5 life. Now you have a 5/4 with trample too. And that's, again, just looking back one set. I think it's going to help out your green mid-range decks a lot. And that's where I see this going. It's not going to be in something low. Obviously, it's too high for that. But I think this is going to help out your green mid-range decks.
All right, sounds sweet. What's next on our things to chit-chat about?
All right, so this is where we get to the card. So each of us chose a card that we want to talk about from the set, aside from, again, whenever we go and we break down all the rares and potentially go through each color. Again, we don't know what we're going to do. If you have an input on how you would like to see it, if you stuck with us for the Kaladesh review, please let us know in our feedback. But Chris, let's go with you first.
Okay.
Which card do you want to talk about most?
I want to talk about SRAM Senior Edificer.
Okay.
It is a 1 and a white legendary creature dwarf advisor. Whenever you cast an aura equipment or vehicle spell, draw a card. All right, so I instantly think of Core Spirit Dancer whenever I saw this. First thing I went to, except we started looking and everyone knew that Jerry was, you know, he was playing eggs in standard for a little bit, mono blue eggs, essentially, you know, and I saw this and it's like, this just pays you to do that. And currently there's nothing in standard to interrupt that. So you could essentially, with this card, it seems like you have the potential to play Cheerios in standard, and there's nothing to interrupt it. Because you're going to play, I'm going to play zero drops and return them to my hand. I'm going to play zero drops, draw a card to my hand, hopefully getting to whatever card allows me to return them all, do it again, stacking off. What's the one that allows us to gain the life, Jerry?
Aetherflux Reservoir.
And the whole time while I'm recasting these zero drops, I'm filling the hand back up to keep doing this and just one-shot you. Like, as soon as I saw this card, I started posting to Jerry, was like, is this what the deck needed? Are we going blue-white? And he was like, yep.
We're going blue-white.
And because I think that's where the deck had problems, was just digging fast enough. And this just pays you to do that. Like, pure upside. Now, the downside, it is 2. Shot got reprinted, so your plan could go to crap real quick. But hopefully it survives, or attach the equipment to it if you're that worried about it. Hope it don't get destroyed. But this is the one that excited me.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on that. And it's going to be very fun to play test that, because I also played the deck too that Jerry built out, and it's fun.
I want to mention something about it too, man. It's modern playable. Like, modern Cheerios was already a fringe combo deck where they were using Pure Steel Paladin, which whenever you play an equipment spell, you draw a card. Now I get 4 more copies of Pure Steel Paladin in my Cheerios deck. Yes, please. Come on. I mean, that's insanity. I think the deck might get actual like tier 1/5 status just because this got printed. Like, it's a good call, Chris. Good call.
Yeah, like, I was all excited whenever I saw this. I was like, yeah! I don't put it quite as the power level of Core Spirit. So to me, it's a give and a take, because you get the advantage of aura, equipment, or vehicle. All right, so that, it's more text. But I think the power of getting +2/+2 off the Core Spirit Dancer for each aura you attach to it, it just becomes exponential real quick. But I think this is a solid card, and it looks fun. To me, that's what I saw. I was like, this card just looks fun.
Nice. All right, Jerry, you're up.
All right. So my card I want to talk about is the blue uncommon Reverse Engineer. 3 generic blue for a sorcery with improvise. Draw 3 cards. All right. So this card's broken.
No, of course not.
I got to come out and just say it, man. Like, with the number of zero drop artifacts and the ways to make clues, this card is always going to cost 2. Like, there's no, like, even in fair decks where, you know, Thraven Inspector, Tireless Tracker, All Rain, this card is very unfair. 2 mana to draw 3 cards is way over curve. And the last time a 2 mana spell allowed you to draw 3 cards made you discard 3 cards at end of turn. This doesn't even do that. And the fact that you can consistently do that is pretty obscene. Like, this card's going to see so much play in Vintage as a full playset, and it's going to get banned out right quick, because drawing 3 cards for 2 mana is not quite as broken as 1, but it's right there on par to be able to just do that. As far as standard implications, like, Chris was talking, you know, with SRAM, you know, he goes turn 2 SRAM, artifact, draw some cards. Turn 3, tap 2, play Reverse Engineer, draw 3 more cards, set myself up for big combo turn. Like, ridiculous. Why this card was even printed with this effect, WotC doesn't know what they're doing anymore. I'm convinced of it. Anyone else? Anyone else opinions on this? Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
No. I completely agree. 2 blue to draw 3 cards is absolutely broken, and I'm saying 2 blue because, again, this is going to be utilized in improvised decks. And even still, if you only have 2 artifacts, okay, you're going to pay 3 to draw 3 cards. That's still value.
Still value.
My question for you, Jerry, is this a replacement for Thoughtcast in Modern Affinity?
Boy, that's a tough question. And I've played some Affinity recently. The second blue symbol hurts a lot.
Right, and that was my thought on it too, and it might be a good reason for people to shy away from this card.
For that particular deck. However,
yep.
You want to make actual eggs, the old Fates Reward deck. Reverse Engineer kind of works in that deck.
Nice.
So it kind of works. We're a bit strong. I'm a bit strong on that one because it's a bit of a non-bow to tap your eggs because you want to tap and sack them. But if you're not going right. off, then you can at least tap your eggs to just draw three cards, like for two mana. So I think it has more application in modern eggs rather than Affinity.
Gotcha. All right, so we're going to get to mine. Mine is also an uncommon, and anybody who's kind of antsy, don't worry. It is going to be exactly what you want it to be. It's Fatal Push.
This is Kaladesh! Boom!
Yeah, first off, 300 art, amazing. Second, Watsy, why? Why would you make this a card? So Fatal Push is... For one black instant, destroy target creature if it has converted mana cost of 2 or less. Revolt. Destroy that creature if it has converted mana cost 4 or less, instead if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn. This is the next $5 uncommon.
You think 5? I think 10.
You think it's going to hit double digits?
I think it's going to hit $10. Path to Exile did it. This is on par with Path.
Yeah, it is. This is, just to give people an idea, Tarmogoyf, gone. Delver, gone. Blighted Agent, Glistener Elf.
Mm.
If you get Revolt on it. Now just expanded even more to those bomb creatures that people are playing in Modern. Also in here in Standard, too. Because we do have Evolving Wilds to trigger this. We have clues to trigger this. Mm. We have a lot of enablers for Revolt. Legacy, maybe?
I'm going to call out... I'm the Legacy guy here. It's matchup dependent. Yep. This is totally matchup dependent. Like, this is not going to do a thing against Eldrazi. It's not worth the spot trying to enable this in to fight Miracles, because the only creature they run that's relevant that you want to kill is a 3-mana creature. So I don't think Fatal Push has a spot there. It hits half of Death and Taxes, which is fine. The deck it hits the most is every creature in Shardless Agent, like Shardless Bug.
Okay.
And that's without enabling. Like, with enabling, you hit more of Death and Taxes creatures, if not all of them, and you hit everything in Shardless at that point.
Gotcha.
So that's matchup dependent. Even for Standard, this kills Grimflayer. that was enough for me. Like, I don't have to enable this to kill a Grimflayer. Or I don't have to enable this to kill an Ink Moth Nexus.
Kalidus, Trader of Get.
Oh, it kills Kalidus. That's so good. Like, you just think of all the things you're killing at one mana in black. Like, Rob...
At instant speed.
Does this bring, like... Is Sultai able to be played in the format now? Now that black has a one mana removal spell?
We're going to have to try it out.
I mean... Because that was like the thing about Abzan and Jund, is they all, you know, Abzan has Bolt, I mean, Path to Exile, and Jund has Bolt. Sultai needed a card at least. Now, granted, all three of the decks get Fatal Push, but at least Sultai now gets Fatal Push. Like, I think there's a real shot at that deck being a thing.
And I see you just typed something in here, Jerry.
That wasn't me. I swear.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not going to take Chris. Credit.
Yeah, that was me.
What is he doing?
All right.
What did he type? Oh. All right.
Go ahead, Chris. Let us know.
All right. So another one we thought, because it was for the control people, mechanized production, enchantment aura to blue boo. You guys get to live the dream now. All right, an enchant artifact you control at the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of enchanted artifact. Then if you control eight or more artifacts with the same name as another one, you win the game. And I started thinking, and I asked Jerry, I was like, you know, what are they going to play this on something? What did I ask you? I asked him if something was going to be their new win con, the flying whale, which I still don't understand, but okay. he said, no, they're gonna stay with the torrential gear Hulk. So then I got to looking at it, and I was like, well, I wonder what it is. It's an artifact creature that it's when it enters the battlefield, it's not a cast trigger. So you guys could enchant your fat caster with mechanized production, and just at the beginning of your upkeep every turn, get to fat caster. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
In my opinion.
That's great.
It's a clock, and you get a ton of graveyard options.
So good. I don't know if it's going to be played. But
so you get
powerful.
Two things, the control guys. All right, you get to cast whatever you want, you know, in your graveyard, and you get to win the game at a decent pace. All right, because 5/6 entering the battlefield will end the game really quickly.
And you could also stick this on a clue.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I think they made a mistake where it says enchant artifact you control. I think we're supposed to say enchant non-token artifact you control. Because now we're just going to stick this on a clue and get an I win the game trigger.
Yeah.
And also, too, we pointed this out during the precast. If you're in white, you can just deck and stone a creature of yours that you have multiple copies of on the field. Or, I don't know, what's the verbiage on deck and stone?
Exile target creature and all creatures that share a name. All controllers add tokens, add clue tokens to the battlefield equal number of creatures that were exiled this way.
Okay,
Non-token creatures.
There we go.
Get that important part out there.
Yep. No, you
cannot SRAM's expertise into a deck and stone. Stop it, Rob. Stop it.
Well, I mean, that's why you need to look at the exact verbiage on those cards because, right, SRAM's expertise, deck and stone, sweet. All the clues ever.
Nope, doesn't work
all
like
right.
that.
Well, that's going to do it here for the first segment. Stay tuned as we talk about preparing for GPs. And then also, we're going to be talking about our next giveaway, so stay tuned for that. Hey everyone, welcome back. So in the second segment, we're going to talk about preparing for a Grand Prix, and we're going to be a little more specific on this, and we're going to be hearing how Jerry prepared for this Legacy Grand Prix. One big benefit Jerry does have is Legacy is one of those formats that is just set in stone. There's not a whole lot of variance like what we see with Modern or really what we see with Standard. So he already knows what to expect going into it and how he can better fine-tune his 75 against the main decks that he's going to see. So Jerry, it's all yours.
Well, it's funny you mention what you expect. That's the first thing you need to do. What do you expect? I'm going to use GP Louisville as an example. The best way I did this was looked at recent tournament results from multiple sites to include MTG Top 8, Channel Fireball, Star City Games, whatever have you. Currently, right now, the metagame is leaning towards Miracles, Eldrazi, Death and Taxes, Four Color Delver, Storm, and Shardless Alurin as the top dog decks, with big uptick in Sneak and Show, Reanimator, and Elves. Once you have that down, you can then decide what you want to play, how you want to attack the format. So, Rob, let me pose this question at you. If you had a choice between any deck in Legacy, based on the decks that I told you that are going to be the most played at this tournament, what would you play and why?
Okay. So, this is just me and my lack of Legacy play that I do have. So, I'm going to give kind of a newish answer to this. I'll give the deck that I'm familiar with and the deck that I have the most play with, and that is going to be Sneak and Show. Sneak and Show can very quickly end the game before my opponents do anything, but it's also a little bit on the resilient side in that I can do the counter fight. there are things that I do need to look out for in these. Mainly Death and Taxes is a big one I see, as well as Miracles. So I would want to look to see where I can squeeze in some sideboard stuff to help me against those two matchups. Eldrazi, I feel like I can race a little bit better. Four-color Delver, I've never had issues with. Storm, it's Storm. That's just a straight-up race. And Shardless Alurn, I have zero games against, so that's just a crapshoot for me.
All right, and from what you just mentioned there, it's actually a pretty good evaluation on Sneak and Show in the format. Your Miracles matchup really is 50-50, leaning towards more your favor. Your Eldrazi matchup, even if they do Chalice for one, you still just have a chance of just winning the game, even though you can't cantrip. Death and Taxes is a bad matchup. Delver is a free win. Storm is a race. Shardless Alurn is really dependent on the Alurn hand, but you narrowed it down to what you wanted to do with the format. So you also even explained the second question as to why you are playing it. Why would you play Sneak and Show? Well, because you have a relatively good matchup against two of the best decks in the format, Miracles and Eldrazi. Why would you not play a deck that beats the two most played decks? Why would you... Now, be honest with yourself, Rob. Why would you not play Sneak and Show?
Why would I not play Sneak and Show?
If you had the choice of any other deck, why would you tell yourself, wait, I cannot play Sneak and Show. I'm going to blow the tournament if I do this.
That would honestly be dependent on the amount of Death and Taxes that is rising up in the format or rising up in the meta or in that area. And that Caracas can absolutely shut me down, as well as the other cards associated with Death and Taxes. So it would really be based on the Death and Taxes metagame. And I think that would really be it for me, honestly. Just, again, my limited legacy play, Death and Taxes would be my biggest deck that I have to look at to see whether or not Sneak and Show would be good, or if I need to go and just try to pilot my legacy in fact.
Exactly. Pretty good reasoning there. Death and Taxes, weirdly enough, is on the uptick, and Delver is on a serious downtick. So this kind of gives you an example of the reason what I'm playing. I chose Eldrazi. The biggest reasons behind it is because Eldrazi has such a strong game one against Miracles. Most people don't think about it, but a turn one Chalice of the Void shuts off 16 cards in their deck. Swords to Plowshares, Brainstorm, Ponder, Sensei's Divining Top. They can no longer do the Miracles thing. They actually have to play a fair game against me, who's doing an unfair game. Now, my bad matchups as an Eldrazi player are four-color Delver, Sneak and Show, and certain Shardless builds, specifically being Sneak and Show. Again, they can just have the combo and I can't do anything about it. Delver being their ability to deny me mana is too strong. And Alurin builds, it depends on how many Strixes they run, because a 1-1 Death Toucher is surprisingly really strong against a bunch of colorless creatures. Now, you want to be able to tweak your deck to help you out. And a big thing I noticed in this format, for this tweaking, I'm adding one mainboard Ulamog, Ceaseless Hunger, and two mainboard Oblivion Sowers. Why am I doing that? Since Eldrazi is the most played aggro deck in the format, Oblivion Sower is the mirror breaker. I take all their lands. Waha, I get to do more things. Simple stuff, right, guys?
Yep.
Well, the last thing I added the Ulamog because of a little man named Joe Losit. He got cheeky, and he is playing a mainboard Moat in his Miracles deck. I need to be able to answer a Moat. I need to. I lose to the card. None of my Eldrazi fly. And Humility is another card where it turns all creatures into 1-1s. Can't win with a bunch of 1-1s. Now, why would I not want to play this deck? Well, again, if Sneak and Show keeps going on to the uptick, it gets dangerous to play this deck because they win the game in a sense that you just can't stop them. Another thing, and this is on the less likely, but if for some reason lands becomes a huge part of the metagame, that is a very bad matchup. You lose to copies of Tabernacle at Pendril Veil and Maze of Ith so quickly. You will never be able to win a game against them. But because of the price of the deck, keeps people off of it, makes Eldrazi a more appealing choice. So Chris, based on what we expect, in this format, which was one of the questions, what would you play and why?
For me?
Yes, with the knowledge we know that Death and Taxes, Eldrazi and Miracles are all on the uptick, Delver and Storm are on the downtick, Sneak and Show, Reanimator, and Elves are on the uptick. What would you choose?
I'm going to say Elves.
Now, why would you choose Elves?
Well, if Death and Taxes is on the uptick, Elves usually just smashes Death and Taxes. The other one, Eldrazi, is on the uptick. Sure, they can rip apart your hand a little bit better. I think they can Elves better leverages the mana to just get stuff out there faster and get to the combo. And the last one you said was what? Miracles?
Miracles is on the uptick, as well as Sneak and Show, Reanimator, and Elves itself.
So, Elves has ways. You're starting to see Cavern run in the Elves decks. Cavern's a soul, so it can get around counterbalance on one.
Yep, you get around Counterbalance, and you get around Chalice of the Void with Cavern.
Yep, and then we have enough stuff at 2 and 4 to just go wide, or the ability just to hard cast Crater Hoof. And it just gets around the counters, and I don't feel like they can keep up. If I get a Glimpse of Nature to resolve, I'm drawing more cards than they are, and I think I'm going to win that game. It's just Death and Taxes and Eldrazi on the rise, and then Elves, depending on the hand. I feel like Elves can take that. I'd be a little worried about Sneak and Show because I think they're just faster. Shardless and Lurin can be a problem. You just have to be faster than they do. And I mean, Storm can just win. So I think unless you have main deck Force of Wills, you're just rolling the dice against Storm.
Okay, no, that's good reasoning. Now, with Humility and Motes being a main board thing now, what would you do in Elves to help you out?
I would run main board Reclamation Sage.
Bingo. Hell yes.
And I'm going to smash the $500 card with like a dollar card.
That's pretty good. I like that. So that's how I prepared for a GP. What I expect, what I want to play out of what I expect, and what metagame analysis is showing me. So there you have it. That's how I kind of do the GP deal.
Now, what would you say for someone preparing then? So you've done this research, if you will. What do you do from there then?
Oh, you play test. You play test the deck till you hate it. I'm not even joking on that. Like, you have to. You need to know the ins and outs, and you need to play test against every deck. Matter of fact, I do a little, and I might have mentioned this before, but I do a little a thing here where I play against the deck 10 times. I play against it 4 times pre-board, 6 times post-board. That usually is enough to get it down in just one day. So if you do that for 5 times in 5 days, you play against the matchup 50 times, you'll know that matchup. That'll help you so much. With Eldrazi, I did it against Miracles, Death and Taxes, Delver, Storm, Alurin. Like, I know those matchups through and through. I feel very confident in those. But yeah, playtesting is just about as good as it gets. Like, learn your deck.
I mean, based off what you're saying, and I think it's the same in Modern as well. Modern and Legacy, those formats pay more dividends on knowing how your deck operates.
Yes, definitely. It's not so much about what you need. It's not so much about learning what your opponent does, because Eldrazi does not care. Be honest with you. Eldrazi is one of the least interactive decks in the format. It does not care what you're doing. I got a Chalice of the Void on one, half your deck is shut off, and I'm playing a bunch of knuckleheads with 2 lands that were 4 and 5 mana creatures. So knowing your deck is a much better reward than knowing your opponent's deck.
One thing, too, I would recommend, and I know I've said this before, watch videos of your deck being played. There's a lot of people out there who stream. There's a lot of people out there who record. And there's also just normal game footage from Grand Prix, from Opens, and other events that are on YouTube that you can utilize so you can see as the player goes through. And as you're playtesting against people, whether it's on X-Mage, Cockatrice, or if it's on Magic Online, if you can, and if you trust what the other person is typing to you, ask them questions, type to them. Say, hey, this is what I was thinking about. You know, would this have been better for me to do than this? Obviously after the match, so then you can keep everything concealed.
Yeah, that's fine. Asking questions to other people based on, you know, if you're just playing with someone on one of the free-to-play sites, very good way to help yourself out. I've done that a handful of times. Like you said, if you're going to watch videos of players actually playing your deck, it exists. Like, if your deck exists in the Legacy format, there's a video out for it. I guarantee it. There is a video out there for Legacy Battle of Wits. It exists. It happened. Just want y'all to know.
Yes.
It happened. Guy goes show and tell, and he drops a Battle of Wits. Game over. So
that wins the game.
That does. So if you're hesitant on, like, if your deck is really that obscure, look it up. You might be surprised. You'll find it.
Yep. And if you guys have any other questions for us, let us know. I know I'm open to help anybody do any kind of playtesting. Jerry, I know you enjoy playing, and I'm sure if you were available, you wouldn't mind it.
Oh, absolutely. All you got to do is ask. I'll do it. I'll play test with you.
Yep. Chris? If he's ever online, you know, we can be that resource for you guys. Just let us know, hey, you know, I need to get some reps in against this deck. I've seen you guys stream it. Would you mind playing against me a couple times? Absolutely. Anything we can do to help out, not just you, but just the community as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
So, to sum up everything, one last time. What do you expect? What do you play based on expectations? Why do you want to play this deck? Give yourself the good reasons. Why should you not play it? Playtest and watch videos. Five really good strong points that'll help you prepare for a GP. I have.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm going to toot my own horn, but my last five GPs, I've day two'd all of them. So, nah. and I've been doing that pretty consistently. So, I feel like I'm on the right train here. I'm almost there.
Almost
this,
there.
This weekend, you're going to all see me at the top tables playing Eldrazi's. So, y'all be happy with me on that one.
Hope you do good.
Yeah, man. You better keep us updated.
You better believe it. I really hope they do coverage at this one. Caveat time. If they don't do coverage at this freaking GP, I'm gonna start screaming in the hall. I swear to God, I'm gonna scream in the hall. I'm like, you guys are idiots. Anytime I'm at a feature table, oh, it's always at a freaking tournament where no one's there. Like, no one's there to do coverage. Like, really? You're not gonna cover your one legacy GP? People wanna watch this. Quit failing.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping you guys have a good enough turnout that they realize that part of the community is still there and willing to support
them. Well, Chris,
them.
That's the thing. It's always a good turnout. GPs always attract pros. It's always... Yeah. I've never been to a legacy GP below 700 players.
Yeah.
Like, and that was my first one so many years ago. Like, they've always been 1,000 plus. That's a good turnout. So, yeah, that's my little rant. There better be some freaking coverage. Sorry, guys. I had to.
All right. Chris, you got any closing words?
I really hope there is coverage, like Jerry said, so that we can see some Legacy get played this weekend. It's a really awesome format to watch.
I absolutely agree. Legacy is a lot of fun, and it might be kind of confusing if it's your first time watching a Legacy event because you may not know what's going on. But definitely take the time, and I'd say sit down and watch a couple of matches. It's crazy all the stuff that we can do as we play Legacy. Being able to cheat out Emrakul super early, being in the swing with him, being able to completely lock out your opponent from doing anything. It sounds boring, but it's kind of incredible to see. And then, yeah, getting a whole bunch of cheap, money-wise, cheap Eldrazi, and destroying a format that is ruled by, you know, decks that are easily a few thousand dollars. So yeah. You never know what you're going to see. But this is going to do it for us. Thanks again for listening. We are doing yet another giveaway. This is brought to us by Camden Battlegrounds in Southern Georgia. If you're ever down in the Southern Georgia or Northern Florida area, definitely give the shop a stop by. They have amazing hobby collectibles, magic cards, and other trading card games. And they're providing a bundle of Aether Revolt to give away. And we'll be announcing that in 2 weeks. And for this one, the way you enter, it's going to be a keyword thing. Go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/thesnapcastmtg. And just type the keyword expertise. And that will enter you for a chance. And we'll announce the winner and get that out to you the week it releases.
Rob, I'm a dumb. Can you spell expertise?
Yes, I can indeed spell expertise. It is EXPERTISE.
So if any of you put TICE at the end of it, or TIZE, it will not count.
No, it'll count.
No,
and we'll just. And you can check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/thesnapcast. Jerry and I, we have been streaming every Monday and Tuesday. Sadly, I will be going away here in a bit, and it will mainly be Jerry who will be up and streaming. And we take recommendations for decks and everything like that. You can also check us out on YouTube. We have links for that. I'm not going to go through that spiel again. And as well as our website at www.thesnapcast.com, where you can get all of the latest content that we bring you. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Glad to have you back here in 2017. And it's going to be a great year. Oh, snap.